T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, that does it, Lee.
What's that?
It's enough to push the people over the edge.
Not that.
Oh, yeah. They're talking bloodshed on the text line like right now. Do you know what it is that finally pushed them over the edge?
I cannot imagine.
All right, I'll tell you. The idea of the government mandating, forcing you to keep the thermostat.
At
85 at night when you sleep.
I saw that. That's,
it should never go lower than 78 during the day.
That's cruel and unusual.
Punishment, yeah. Here's just a sample of what we're getting. I will go to war for bacon and burgers.
Yeah.
I will whine constantly at anything above 75 degrees.
Yeah.
Jason should suggest, he may be onto something. Maybe the liberals are always in a bad mood because they keep the thermostat too high.
That's it.
Yeah. Anyway, the texter writes, lowering the temp in the evening makes people sleepy at 82 degrees will never sleep again. Yeah. The kids will be up all night. Yeah. Oh, that's true. I could tell you. Okay, let's just examine this for a moment, okay? The abject irony of this, because the media picked up on this and ran with it, right? Mm-hmm. And right now, it's a suggestion from the federal folks behind the Energy Star program.
Yeah.
Suggest. But that's because this is a Republican administration and not a Democrat administration. Yeah. Eventually, they will, between, you know, their centrally controlled thermostats and whatever else, they will make this law. Now, you got to understand, they aren't going to have to do this. They're just talking about you.
Right.
That's how it always is. That's why they jet off to these global warming conferences in order to lecture the little guy about not turning on the AC. Right. OK. So here's what we're talking about. Department of Energy and EPA say that when you're sleeping, you should set the thermostat at 80. At 82 degrees. When you're away at work, it should be 85 degrees. And when you're home, but you're not sleeping, it should be 78 degrees. Okay, I remembered this, so I looked it up. Barack Obama, they kept the thermostat at 70 degrees in the summer and 78 in the winter.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The building that this new suggestion was written from is a non-green building in D.C. where the thermostats are auto set at 72 degrees. So they were sitting in the AC at 72 writing this.
Well, I look at it this way. If I'm paying the money, if my money is going to pay for my power bill in my house that I paid for and pay taxes on, it's none of your dadgum business what I set my thermostat on. And I have refused every effort from the utility to have someone put something on my meter or my power coming in or my air conditioner or heat pump so that they can control that. If you're having an issue, talk to me. Let me know that, maybe I'll move mine around a bit. But I'm not going to have you do it from some computer somewhere in Charlotte. Not going to happen. And if we ever get past the situation where it is mandated, I'm going off grid. I'll hook up the solar panels and the wind turbines and, buy my own little mini nuclear station, whatever I've got to do. But you can have it. I mean, I'm sorry. When I'm paying the bills, ain't none of your business what my thermostat's set on.
Well, I love some of the responses to this, Lee. One of my favorites is this. I've already accepted the dying planet. I've already embraced the dying earth. So I keep my central air between 67 and 72 at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, and I had forgotten this too. Listen to this. Andy points this out to me. He sent me an email that when Obama was confronted, because remember he told us all, he went to Africa and told those poor people that they shouldn't expect to have air conditioning like he did.
Yeah.
Right. Because he was going to save the world, just not in his own house.
Yeah.
And he was confronted about the fact that they kept the thermostat in the White House at 70 during the summer, kept it nice and cool. His spokesperson explained that he was from Hawaii.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah. So Muchel never slept at 82 degrees. Not Her Highness. She wasn't going to do that. But they want you to do it.
Well, they do have a sea breeze there.
I've been to Hawaii, let me tell you. It ain't much. It's blame dad hot there. So, Anyway, yeah, no. So that, to just to just show, I mean, he's out there lecturing people on this, and he didn't even live by it.
Well, that's always the way it is for liberals. It all you've got to suffer the consequences of our decisions, but not us.
Well, I mean, then if that's how it works for Obama, could I just say, well, you know, I was born in Florida. My parents were there for a minute, and that's where I was born. So should I just say I was born in Florida? And yeah, so I mean, you know, I'm going to have it at 70 like Barack Obama.
Once again, if I'm paying the bills, ain't none of your business.
Oh, my gosh. If I set the thermostat, this is actually interesting. If I set the thermostat at 82, somebody writes on the text line, when I slept, any energy savings from that would be offset by the amount I'd have to wash my bedding. Which would be like every day, right?
Yeah. Don't we have some commercial that talks about sweating the bed? That would be.
Yeah. Ooh. Ah, that commercial always freaks me out.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Text writes, your welder friend here, I work in 100 plus degrees every day.
Oh, man. No kidding.
I'm going to keep my house at 68.
Well, also, he's working next to something that is how many hundreds or thousands of degrees when you're welding? I don't know the temperature, the melting point of whatever metal he's using, but I'm sure he's right there. I know where you're doing it's going to be hot, but, you know, you're right next to that weld going on. That's got to be really super hot.
Yeah. This one, text writes, the EPA has never experienced summer in the South. I went to lunch with a very old woman who, she grew up on Folly Beach. Mm-hmm. And they had a house right on the beach. Yeah. And she was telling me how poor she was. And I had to stop. I said, well, you had a house on the beach.
Yeah.
And you were poor?
Yeah.
She said, oh, yeah. Nobody. She said, the poor people lived on the beach.
Yeah.
Because that was before AC in the South. She said, nobody wanted to live on the beach. You know how hot the beach is without the AC? She said, only the poorest of the poor would live there. Anybody else would think you'd crazy. And she said, these people with their big busted out beach houses, they didn't go out there until the advent of air conditioning. Yeah. You know, and so, I mean, basically, this is what they're suggesting. I mean, do these people want to take us back to the Stone Age? No meat, because the cow farts, right? They've said that in the last 48 hours. It's your keto people are killing the planet. And then now they're saying no AC. I mean, what's next? Mandated living in a cave?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Will we be allowed to cook our dinner over an open fire or no?
What do you mean cook?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I guess they'll have us just dig for roots and grubs and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
It's a grubs fart.
You know, I really don't know.
I don't either. But somebody will look it up or figure it out and send it to me any minute now. Any minute now. This audience has an answer for everything.
Absolutely.
I tell you.
Yeah.
Texter writes, got you all beat. Wife keeps it at 65 degrees. The frozone. LOL.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Where Ilsa is always singing.
I know. Yes. Texter writes, I usually keep my house around 78 in the summer to save money. I will not tolerate the government telling me to do it in my own house. Yeah.
Don't temp on me.
Mm-mm. No, no, no. You know, plus, the only way this could work out is if the earth continues cooling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then we won't need the thermostat. So, there you go.
And then we could just live on the beach.
Yeah, we can just live on the beach. Texter writes, the 70 degrees inside is 70 degrees. The outside temperature doesn't matter. Yeah, I guess you're right. So there you go. But people are pretty hepped up over this. Another texter writes, oh, this is a good point. When do they come after people farts? No, I laughed too. But then I thought, well, that's a little profound. I mean, if cow farts are the problem, then...
And we've been eating the cattle.
Yeah.
Just, I don't even want to think
about it. There's only amount of time. Yep. Yeah. Texter writes, Tracy and Gaffney. Good morning, Tracy. If he's from Hawaii, wouldn't he be more used to the heat? Questions liberal journalists never ask, right? And finally, Texter writes, as Scarlett O'Hara said, I will never eat a root again. Did she say that? I'll have to check.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, which has exploded. Texter writes, well, in the U.S. Air Force, thank you for your service, I did a 2-year tour in the Philippines without AC in our dorm. They gave us a choice between AC and hot water. We chose the hot water. They issued each of us a new fan when we arrived. When we left, they tossed the fans as they had been on for almost 2 years straight. Yeah. What a total nightmare. Total nightmare. Ugh. All right. Meanwhile, New York Times, they did not mean to let you know they were going to do this. The New York Times has now pre-planned the news of the next 2 years. Okay, that means they're not a real journalism operation. We talked about this the other day. They're going to focus on Trump's racism for 2 years and attempt to sell you on the idea that the real founding of the country was in 1619, not in 1776, and that everything that happened after that was illegitimate. Okay, why are they doing that? Rush had a great take on this yesterday, but he missed one thing. It's all part of the same thing. Yeah, they want to use it to defeat Trump. But that's absolutely right. But why 1619? Folks, I'd love to know. I'd love to finally find the bunker, the command center where they put all this together. This is all on the left. I mean, this is all part of the same thing. It's not separate. These are not separate random incidents. The drive to eliminate the Anthem Thune kneeling, the drive to eliminate the Betsy Ross flag, all of these things, the drive to eliminate the American flag is a thing of shame and racism. Why do they want to do that? I spent a ton of time on that because I knew what they were after. They weren't after those things. What they were after is if you concede that the Betsy Ross flag, because of its timing during, you know, its creation during the Revolutionary War era, if you concede that the anthem, if you concede that all these things are racist because of the time they came from, then you have to concede that the founding documents and even our original rights are, too. That's the ultimate goal here. And I am tearing my hair out because everyone is missing this. They failed on the anthem. They failed on the NFL kneeling. Jay-Z just declared that that era was over. Can't imagine what they paid him to do that, the NFL. Holy cow. It had to be 10 mil, at least. But anyway, that all failed. They lost. So what they're going to do is reframe the founding. And they even spell out for us what the goal is, which is very, very helpful. And as usual, our side is, way behind on what the left is doing. What is the goal of doing this? Tarring Donald Trump? Of course. But that's not the main goal. No. They're long-term thinkers. What is the goal of basically reframing the founding to 1619? It's to abolish our rights as illegitimate. That's the point. That's the goal. Listen, they said it in their own words. The New York Times, the country, quote, the country's founding ideals were false when they were written and should be thrown out because, you know, they are white supremacists. They didn't say that part. They said the country's founding ideals were false when they were written. This is why they want to rewrite history. In their own words, they use the word rewrite. Rewrite history and teach the founding from 1619, the day of the year of the importation of the first slave. Why? Again, that would mean that by 1776, the country's founding ideals were false when they were written and thus must be thrown out. That's the goal. That's the crack they were looking for. That's why they wanted to get rid of the anthem. If we concede the anthem is racist, if we concede the Betsy Ross flag is racist, if we concede the American flag is racist, then the founding must too be racist and thus must be thrown out. If you want to keep your First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment rights, if you want a right to practice religion, a right to freely assemble, a right to your political opinions, a right to free speech, a right to protect yourself with your gun, and a right to privacy so a boot doesn't come through your door, by God, that's racist. And you're racist too. We got to erase it all. That's the point of this. Everybody's missing it. Yeah, it's about Trump. Absolutely. Yes, it's about Trump. But no. This is a much bigger project. How do you know it's a bigger project? Well, fake news, New York Times, has already produced a school history curriculum that they're, as we speak, distributing to schools to teach the children this. That's how long-term their thinking is. It's way past this election. Teach the children the founding was in 1619, that the only part of the founding that mattered was slavery. Thus, It must be erased, and with it, all your fundamental rights. Folks, again, what do you call a person who does not have the right to freely assemble with others for political purposes or religious ones? A person who is not allowed to choose their own religion? A person who has no free speech rights? A person who has no Second Amendment rights to protect themselves? And a person who has no privacy? What do you call that person? A slave. A slave. This is a plan to re-enslave black people and throw white people in too. They want to enslave us all. And the only way to do it, they got to knock down that Bill of Rights. That's what this has always been about. They came at it from the kneeling direction and the Betsy Ross flag, and they lost. So now they're coming at it from this direction. It's brilliant, this direction. Absolutely brilliant. And it's going to be with us for years. You're going to see echoes of this everywhere. But at least we have it in writing what they intend to do.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Texture rates, had to smell like an onion all day, sleep with a thermostat at 82 degrees. Texture rates, you're absolutely right. Decades of the dumbing down of America has all been leading up to this erasure of rights. Another texture rates, correct me if I'm wrong, but the group who directly profited from slavery for 157 years was the British Empire. Bingo. That's where I was going. In liberal logic, that profit led to the success of Britain. Therefore, reparations should be paid by the citizens of the UK as well as the US. Okay. This whole idea that because America had slavery at its founding still, that everything that occurred thereafter is illegitimate. Right? And that's what the New York, I mean, I just read it to you. That's what the 1619 Project is about. In the New York Times' own words, everything that, because the real founding was in 1619, in the year of our shame, when the first slave was imported, everything after that is illegitimate. And of course, they're taking aim directly at the founding, because the ultimate goal, everything they do, you can understand, it boils down to one thing. It's very simple. One very simple goal. They have reached the point in their agenda where it is so radical that the Bill of Rights stands in their way. They can't do what they want to do if people are able to point out the fallacy of it. That's where the First Amendment's got to go. It's got to end. They'll do anything to get rid of it. They need to invade your privacy so they can do things like control your thermostat. Fourth Amendment's got to go. Got to go. They're going to need a police state to do what they want to do next. And so literally the only thing holding them back is the Bill of Rights. That's where we are. But I want to go back to 1619 and just point something out about 1619, the fallacy of this argument. 1619, slavery in much of the industrialized world was legal. It was the norm. So was the idea of class. And one of my hobbies, and if you ever want to do something wild, I mean, just so cool. One of my hobbies, I do this, and my husband gets a kick out of it. Instead of reading history, I like to read books written during the period. And lately, I've been reading a lot of stuff from the Industrial Revolution in England and in America. And we think of the Industrial Revolution as starting here, but really it did start more in England than it did here. And it was a lot of English manufacturers moved over here. So starting in roughly around 1800. One of the things I love reading are romances from that period. Because believe it or not, romance novels are not like they are today. Back then, they were political commentaries. I know that sounds like a strange thing to do with a romance novel, but that's how it was back then. So I like to read stuff written during the time. There's no better history. And man, it's nothing like what they taught us. A lot of it. I mean, the slavery, yes, slavery was the norm in many parts of the world, 1600s. 1700s. It wasn't just us. But classism, oh my gosh. Classism was a virtual slavery. Women were practically slaves. White women, women of all colors. It is amazing, the mentality of that time. And how, you know, if you were born to a certain class, and keep in mind, because the Brits were still running this country, it was almost impossible for you to rise. Literally almost impossible. You basically worked yourself into an early grave. Very few people owned land. It was not what we think it was. Nobody was free, not like they are now. And so when you begin to read that in the mentality, in the class system, the way that women were treated, and I mean, do you realize that women couldn't even have their own money, even if they went to work or inherited it? It belonged to their husband. And this didn't begin to change until the late 1800s and early 1900s, where they had to pass laws saying, hey, listen, if she earned the money or she inherited it, it doesn't automatically go to her husband. She can have her own bank account. They wouldn't open a bank account for you. That's how insane it was. And all of that fell after 1619. So slavery was the norm then. The class system and the repression of women, the norm. Not just here, but all over the world. It's not like we were doing something unique here. This was, by and large, the British system, and this is the way it was. They were running what's now the country. It wasn't the country then. It was British. And when Washington rode into battle, and folks don't understand this, he fought as much against the Brits and their system and the fact that there was taxation without representation, which is what the Revolutionary War was about. We didn't have a voice in British Parliament, yet they made the law for us. It was as much against that as it was against the class system. I mean, and you could tell that beyond a doubt because Washington did something radical. He could have kept the power for himself, and yet they turned the vote over to the people. They created the people's house. They gave people the vote. You didn't have to be a part of any class. I mean, do you realize the British judicial system, you know who served on it? Only men of higher class. If you were a successful merchant, good luck. You were still a second-class citizen. I mean, the Indian caste system's got nothing on this mess. That was the world, folks. It was a bad place for most people. You had no hope. So the story of America is the story of the journey out of that. The way that things were in 1619, here's the way they were everywhere. It wasn't any different. British Empire was huge. And the first person to take that back was George Washington. And George Washington was amazing because his dad was a landowner. He was gentry. He was of the upper class. And he could have just done what all those men did, which was have an affair with the maid. Instead, he did something insane. He married her. And not even because he knocked her up. He married her because he loved her. That was nuts. You would talk radical for the time. And so Washington came from this mixed background. Lower and upper class. Those never crossed. And from that, you got the Revolutionary War. You got a man who did something radical. I mean, the upper classes had always used the peasants to fight their wars and then screwed them over. He turned around and said, no, we're going to let the peasants vote. Now, you had to be a landowner, but you didn't have to be gentry. You didn't have to be gentrified. You didn't have to be an aristocrat. That was a crazy concept. So we don't live back then, and our history books suck. So we don't understand what life was like. Washington wasn't just battling the Brits. He was battling class and poverty and fighting for opportunity. He was a radical for his time, not a throwback slave owner as he's portrayed. These ideas of his were nuts. That's why he can only get 12% of the population to fight with him. Everybody else thought he was nuts. But we came out of it. That's what you celebrate about America. And that's why they want to wipe out and make illegitimate all of the history after 1619. And so what? The rest of the world was like this. It doesn't make any. It didn't matter where you went. It's what happened since then that matters. And they want to wipe that out. It's all a big lie, but then. Going to jump on the Ingalls Advantage talk line with Brett in Simpsonville. Brett, you got like a minute and a half and we're both getting thrown off the air whether we like it or not. So I'm putting the show in your hands. Can you do it?
I can do it, Tara. Thank you so much. What amazes me is basically
as is so often the case with the left, they're eating their own tail. These people want to do away with the very freedoms that allowed them to claim freedom from slavery. So if they go back to 1690 or whatever it is, and they rewrite everything because they say slavery and that was bad, so we need to rewrite everything and everything's void, then they will eliminate the efforts of the founding fathers who wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which then enabled them to be free. There's a yeah. lot of historical evidence that at the time that they were writing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration, and the statements like all men are created equal, they were struggling with the idea of slavery. They were struggling with the idea of all men being equal. But they knew that the states being together was and fighting the British was more important at the time. They needed that cohesion, and they were afraid if they made that an issue at that point, they would lose some states that relied on slavery. So they didn't make it an issue at that time so that they could, you know, complete the revolution and fight the British as a unified group. So they were struggling with that already, but they knew that was going to be an issue. And ultimately, that led to the Bill of Rights and the freedoms that people were able to stand up and point to and say, you know, slavery's wrong. We need to step away from that. So I don't understand, you know, that they want to erase the very thing that they claim their freedom from.
And yes.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm bewildered by it.
Well, and they know their arguments don't make any sense. I mean, how hard would it be, Brett, seriously, if you tried to come up with an argument to get rid of our First Amendment right? That's almost impossible. So they're trying to set up a situation where if you want to retain your First Amendment rights, they scream racist at you and shut the conversation down. That's what the 1619 Project is all about. Great wrap up for this hour. Brett, thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.